Insects by Caroline Slocock. Read by Louise Barrett. It might help if you talked about it. The psychiatrist spoke softly, careful not to upset the girl. This was the third time they'd met in this white, windowless room. The third time they'd sat on plastic chairs bolted to the floor, facing each other across a plastic table, also bolted to the floor. The girl had yet to utter a single word. "Maybe we could talk it through together," she offered in a gentle tone. The girl kept her head down and picked at her fingernails, which were ragged and torn and sore-looking. The woman watched her steadily. "I know something terrible must have happened. Something that made you do this." Pick, 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 as if she were trying to remove a whole layer of skin. "I'm going to tell you what I think happened, and you can correct me when I'm wrong, all right?" The girl shot her a quick look, her eyes wide and brown and fearful behind a black fringe, her face as white as her shapeless gown. "I think the woodshed was his special place. He kept his toy soldiers there in a tin. His sports magazines were on the shelf. There was an old bottle of ginger beer." Pick, pick, pick. It was dirty, though. The window was so filthy you couldn't see through it. And the floor was just bare earth, no covering on it. Pick, pick, pick. "I think he'd been taking you there for a long time." Pick, pick, pick. "You were young when it started, no more than a child." The girl's nails were beginning to bleed now, the blood bright and startling against her pale skin. "I think you'd probably been planning this for some time." The girl sucked the blood away, kept on picking. "The thing I'm not clear about is, how did you do it? The wounds on his body were all the same, small and ragged and very deep. At first, the police thought you'd stabbed him with a skewer, but it looked like something had been screwed in and screwed out again." She heard the girl's breathing quicken, saw her small chest rising and falling beneath the white gown. "And all the wounds had a neat circular mark around them, a ring. We've been trying to work out what kind of tool you used." The girl's mouth was moving now, a strange, snarling and slackening movement that revealed her small yellow teeth. "But most of all, I'd like to know why. Why did you make those 87 wounds?" "So they would go back in." The sound of her voice was shocking, the dry, rasping scratch of a soul in pain. "They?" asked the woman softly. "Who were they?"
"The insects! The bugs and the maggots and the lice and the flies. And I tried to kill them, but they were everywhere. These crawling piles of legs and wings and eyes in my mouth and my hair and my skin. And I tried to kill them, but they just kept coming back."
She was becoming hysterical now, her eyes wild, her bloody fingers scrabbling at her arms. The door opened suddenly and two attendants rushed in.
"I had to make the holes so the insects would go back inside him where they came from. 87 holes for the 87 times."
She saw the syringe then, screamed. The cold needle pierced her skin and the liquid entered her body and she went limp. The woman stood, knocking her papers to the ground. "Is that really necessary?" But the attendants were already carrying the girl out. The woman stared helplessly at the door. She felt shocked, guilty, unsettled. She carried this feeling home with her like a lead weight, stood for a long time gazing out at the black garden, trying to understand. Finally, she took a bottle of wine from the cupboard, a glass, opened the drawer. The silver corkscrew lay there, the screw long and fine and deadly at the centre of its circular frame. The levers at the sides designed to withdraw the screw with the cork attached. or the flesh.